one of the developments of our own times is the technology we are calling AI. I know our preoccupation nowadays is the war and the effects of the war on the Philippines and the energy crisis, and that's naturally at the forefront of our minds, but in the development of technology, this AI is being described as a major revolution, a huge leap forward. Some people are trying to compare it to the invention of the printing press, how the printing press changed human cultures and changed the course of history. Or some people are saying it's something like the Industrial Revolution, the harnessing of internal combustion and of the development of mass means of production changed cultures, changed workplaces, changed society. So that's what they're saying about AI. Well, maybe so, I don't know. There are leaps forward in the development of technologies, but there's nothing to compare to the leap forward that we celebrated yesterday, the revolution that we celebrated yesterday, when God became man, when the Word, the eternal Word, became flesh in the womb of Mary. That was what we celebrated with the solemnity of the Annunciation. That's the biggest revolution of all, the coming of God into human society and taking on our condition, our fallen condition, sin and death, and conquering it, dying and rising. Yeah, that's the revolution. Now, because God became man, everything human is touched by divine presence in a way that's just phenomenal. That's it. This is the revolution. Anything human, our bodies, our interaction, our cultures, language, whatever Jesus experienced, God experienced in the flesh. Being in the womb, growing up as a child, living in a family, working, things that we experience. Politics, culture, language, arts, everything human is touched by God. So that's the revolution. Now, there's a previous revolution that prepared for this one, the Word becoming flesh. And that's what's referred to in today's readings, the introduction of a new stage of human history when God called Abraham. This is the Abraham Mass. Maybe you've heard of that reference. Abraham is mentioned in the first reading, also in the Psalm, and then also in the Gospel. He's prominent in all the readings. So the Abraham Mass. Well, what's so significant about Abraham? A revolution, a spiritual revolution. There are lots of religions, and there were religions in Abraham's time as well. And every religion has some god or gods, and some claim to know what God wants, and some understanding of what God demands. But nobody, until Abraham, could claim to have been personally spoken to by God and brought into a covenant with God. The covenant is actually the revolution. Covenants, I just read this recently in a footnote, I don't remember which Bible it was, but it pointed out that there were covenants, that's common in Middle Eastern cultures and in all cultures, ways to make binding agreements even before heaven. But in this case, it's God himself who enters into the covenant. He establishes this sacred bond with a human being, Abraham. That's what he says here in today's first reading. My covenant with you is this. And then he says, I'm going to make you the father of a host of nations. I'm changing your name. I'm going to make you the source of kings and nations. And I'm going to be faithful to this covenant forever. An everlasting promise. This is unheard of, that God would somehow bind himself to man as if he's subject to man. No religion ever came up with an idea like that. Who could think of such a thing? Who would think that God, all-powerful, all-knowing, would put himself into a binding agreement with man? But he did. The covenant. Now, this covenant with Abraham, And God never broke the covenant, right? God is always faithful to his promises. He's always faithful in his love. But we broke the covenant. Man broke the covenant. The Israelites weren't faithful. The descendants of Abraham were not faithful. That's why when Jesus comes, he establishes the new covenant. It's built on the old one, but it's a huge leap forward. It's a revolution that not only will God still be faithful to his love for us, but he'll take on the responsibility of healing the relationship. He'll do it himself. Now, he won't force us. He won't force covenant love on us, but he opens up a possibility for us to be faithful to him, which we can't do on our own. But God makes it possible for us to be faithful to the covenant. Okay, so this is what we're establishing here. There's the covenant with Abraham, and then there's this leap forward with Jesus. Abraham, a huge revolution. And that's what we had in the first reading. And the psalm celebrates it. The Lord remembers his covenant forever. We said it again and again. The Lord remembers his covenant forever. That's guaranteed. The problem is that we don't remember our covenant forever. We forget even in one day. We're so weak. But the Lord, and we celebrate this, the Lord is faithful to his covenant. Now, in the gospel, Jesus brings up the unbelievable leap forward that transcends even death itself. And we saw this on Sunday with the raising of Lazarus, or at least it was an indication of God's power over death. But he's talking about something more than what Lazarus received. Lazarus was brought back to life in this world. He's talking about, but he says, never seeing death. Beginning of this gospel. Whoever keeps my word will never see death. They change it a little bit and they say, what do you mean? Whoever keeps my word will never taste death. Well, yeah, we taste it, but we're not overcome by it. We'll all die. Just like Lazarus died. In fact, he died twice. Jesus died. So we all experience death. But death has no power over us because of Jesus Christ. And this is what he's trying to reveal to the Jews. And they think he's just ludicrous. It's impossible to accept the things he's saying. Because he's saying that he somehow transcends death. And then they're the ones who bring up Abraham. Abraham, who was the first, who was the spiritual revolutionary, he died. All the prophets died. You think you're better than them? Actually, the right answer is yes. He is better than them. He is greater than Abraham. They ask him, well, who do you think you are? Who do you make yourself out to be? And Jesus' response to this is basically, I'm not making myself out to be anything. What I'm doing is fulfilling the will of the Father. If you want to know me, you have to know I was sent by the Father. I'm not glorifying myself. The Father glorifies me. I'm not doing my own work. I'm doing the work of the Father. I'm revealing to you the Father, whom you claim is your God, but you don't really know him. I know him, and I want you to know him. That's what Jesus is doing here. Now, it's such a leap forward. You can almost not blame the audience for not understanding it. We barely understand it ourselves. But the way to accept it is with faith. And that's what they didn't have. His audience didn't have faith. They didn't really have what was given to Abraham, what was handed on from Abraham's time. Faith. The way to be a true descendant of Abraham is to believe in the promises of God, and to be faithful to the covenant with God. That's the way. Not understanding everything God does or says. Well, they protest and say, you're not even 50 years old yet, and Abraham died 2,000 years ago. I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all. And then Jesus makes this extraordinary claim. Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am. Meaning, I exist. I existed before Abraham existed. What the theologians call the pre-existence of the Word. Before he became flesh, he already existed in union with the Father. What what we celebrated yesterday was the entry into time of this I am, who always is. He's always I am. But he wasn't always in time until yesterday, the Annunciation. Well, the reaction of the Jews is he has to be stoned to death because he's claiming to be God. Actually, he is God. He is God. He's 100% God. He's 100% human. He's the eternal Word. He is the Son of Mary. That's what we celebrate. And that's the one we turn to gain victory over the problems that we face, both the temporal problems of our economy and our society and our families, and the lasting or the bigger problem of sin and death. He's victorious over it all. He's our hope. So we join him in this great leap forward. Yes, with the faith of Abraham, but beyond what Abraham could see, he could only see it prophetically. What does Jesus say? Your Abraham, your father, rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. He didn't see it. He didn't understand what was going to happen 2,000 years later, but he had faith. He had faith in things he couldn't see and couldn't understand. That's how he saw Jesus. And that's how we see with eyes of faith. See beyond our problems, beyond the impossibilities. Say, okay, nothing's impossible for God. Therefore, we journey by faith.